because there's you know, there's no.
I prepared that you'd get better and take a long trip to Alaska.
Ecclesiastes chapter, I think we are done with chapter 3, aren't we? Yeah. We go to chapter 4. What? 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 Oh, I don't know why I put up with this. What?
You could have been a contender.
No, I couldn't have been a contender. Everybody there? So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but the oppressed had no comforter. Now, there's a jillion, you can imagine, all of the commentary about who the oppressed are. So I don't, we don't, those are the obvious. But Rabbi Benjamin.
Swedish.
No. Interprets a verse to those who pretend to be a Bible scholar or a Mishnah scholar, but are not. They wrap themselves in their talith and their phylacteries, and they ape the manner of scholars. Now, this is what the whole of Matthew 23 is about. And it's the most seriously discussed response to this verse. That the real oppressors are those that cause God's people to stumble, to be ensnared. And if you believe the New Testament, it says it would be better if you cause one of these little ones, in other words, a new believer, to stumble. And if you cause them, what is it? What is the word? Verse 8, Matthew 18, let's go there a minute. Verse 3, chapter 3, chapter 18, verse 3 of Matthew. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now that used to bother me because little children were brats. But it's a very interesting word. It means before self-awareness. And that for some reason, the human being follows the path of what happened in the whole of Scripture. They're born in innocency for about the first 18 months, or depending, somewhere between 0 and 18 months, there's no self-awareness. Huh?
They're cute.
Then they reach the terrible twos. But unless you be converted and become as that little as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is the thing? What's going on there? What does that mean? And as you've heard me speak for 30 some years now, that means the abandonment of yourself. That means that you have divorced yourself. That means that you take no thought of or about or for yourself. That means that you have no concern for yourself. That means there's no more self-realization. There's no more you becoming. There's no more self, period. Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. Now, if anybody disagrees with me, let's talk about it. Because this is like the essence. This is the mystery, the essence of the mystery of God, the gospel. What?
Or disagrees with Jesus.
Or disagrees with That's Jesus.
Worse.
And then and then this is why all of the teaching about the rabbi from the ancients was so directed toward this. I saw the oppression, and they're saying that the oppression is not just being physically oppressed. That's the minor stuff, but the real oppression is being led astray by the spiritual leaders. Now, what is it? Let's look at that, because that's kind of important.
I just jump back to the little kid for a minute. That state of abandonment by the young child is they're not trying to get it right or anything. They're so out there and they're aggravating half the time.
But they just are.
But they're just being. Pure being.
Right. And Jesus, I mean, that's what the word deny means when he says, if you want to be his disciple, you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross. The deny yourself is abandonment. Abandonment of self. Totally. Total divorcing. It's what we talked about last night. The day for you of Christ cannot come unless there becomes a falling away first, a divorce. You have to divorce yourself. Now, there's not one person on the face of the earth that wants to hear this. If you'd have told me this in my early years, you're crazy. I had places to go and mountains to climb, and rivers to cross, and things to accomplish. But this is like Christianity 101. This is the very basis of Christianity. Except you be converted and become as that little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. And again, the ancients said that the true oppression that God has seen under the sun, by the sons of men, is the oppression of people who pretend to know what they're talking about and yet are simply teaching self-realization in the name of God. How you can get something. This is kind of fundamental. So, I mean, this is that, to me, the bright line of demarcation between truth and error. As long as you're teaching how-tos, and everything is an error. Because you don't understand the mystery. You don't understand eternity. You don't understand perfection. You just are simply using this mystery of God as a way to enhance yourself, and you're one of many in the spiritual array of options. And so you go and you take a little piece of this and a little piece of that. But all the time, the actual religious service that's going on inside you is totally and completely the antithesis of the mystery of and the service of God. Any reaction? Remember last night, he said, the word of the Lord was unto you, line upon line, here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And then all the time he said, this is the refreshing wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, but they would not hear, for the word of the Lord continued to be unto them, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto his people. And the stammering lips is mocking. The entire universe is mocking your self-seeking. It's so abjectly idiotic if you pull yourself out of the picture. Oh, I'm going to be this, or I'm going to be president, or I'm going to win the Olympics, or I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. It is so abjectly meaningless that everything is mocking it. So with mocking lips, but with a tongue that you cannot understand. And it's not has nothing to do with language. It has to do with you are hardwired for self-seeking. Even down to and including hardwired to get more knowledge of God, to understand the things of God better. You can't do it. That's why you have to be apprehended. You cannot apprehend. You cannot learn your way into the kingdom of God. You cannot do anything. But you have to reach the point in terms of understanding what the fear of God means that you have to see that by going to your own understanding for anything is as bad as Ronnie going to back to the crack cocaine. Because you are so completely addicted to self that you have to come to this place that Jesus talked about. That you would rather die than have another thought with you as the subject of your sentence. If that hasn't come upon you yet, then you don't know the fear of God. Because the fear of God is only the merest of the beginning of wisdom. And what are the predicates of wisdom? Two of them. If it's highly esteemed among men, it's an abomination unto God. And if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of God. You've got to face that. And you've got to face it honestly. You've got to face it with reality and integrity, because this is what addresses the worship that's going on in you as the temple of the living God. Because if it's anything other than abandonment of self, then it's the worship of the religion of the whore. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as the little child. Now how do you humble yourself? It's only the little child did it because he didn't yet have the capacity for self-awareness. So the only way you can humble yourself is the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ isn't, automatically this mind and all my weird ideas and thoughts and sicknesses they've all of a sudden become sanctified. No, the mind of Christ is when it says he made himself of no reputation. It's a specific word in the Greek, and it means he 100% emptied himself. And lived in that total moment of dependence on the Father. He did nothing. Now, if you're not interested in this, I don't care. I'm not trying to convince you of anything, but my God, all of you are old enough to know the stupidity of your own self-seeking. God has been mocking you your whole life. What?
I don't know why, but each time you say that, I think of a piece of film I saw of these crabs, that, little crabs. They live inside shells. They walk around. They find something to live in because they don't have a shell themselves. And when something happens, they pile rocks up in front of themselves. And then when the tide moves the rocks away, they quickly scurry out and pull rocks. And they rebuild it every minute. And every time you say that, it makes me think of it. Scurrying little claws across.
Finding a little, getting out of the light. It's like cockroaches. Can you see why Paul said the preaching of the cross is the power of God? Oh, you're not preaching about the cross that happened 2,000 years ago. That's child's play. You're preaching about the cross that you are dead on. And all of this other mental activity and mental gymnastics and constant living in deception, it's the same deception that the snake deceived Eve with. It's not going to change. It's the oldest story in the universe. And your mind is that snake. Oh, no, not my mind. My mind is wonderful. God gave me this wonderful mind. No, bullshit. He gave it to Adam, and Adam used it to fall. It permanently affected the universe. And you're going to tell me now your mind is sanctified? Anybody has any other response?
I've got one. I'm probably going to jump down the throat. But God created man. God created Adam. God created the mind that we all carry around up here, that you're telling us we...
Stop. Totally. Stop right there. Okay. I just said, you've forgotten the fall, haven't you?
No.
He created the mind. The mind was not, Adam and Eve, if you believe anything I say, Adam and Eve did not have the capacity for self-awareness. They only were aware of God and others in other situations. There was no self-awareness. They had the capacity for it, and that was the test of eating of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. And once they ate of that fruit of the tree, there was a systemic thing that happened. It changed the universe. What is it? What did the fall mean? What does the fall mean to you?
But no, why would God leave it like that?
Because God wanted the innocence to be taken. He almost didn't. He almost wiped out everything in the universe. Several times. The reason he did was this is what we're about to study. Adam and Eve were created. They were formed of the dust of the earth, and he breathed on them. And they became a living soul. And that living soul had the capacity, it was innocent, but it had the capacity to become holy by antagonism, by resisting, by not following their nose. Now what happened? They did the same thing that Christ didn't do. They were seduced to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So then they could sit and judge for themselves what was good and what was bad, what's the best thing to do and what's not, what I should learn and what I shouldn't learn, what I should try to avoid and what I shouldn't avoid. And so we don't know how many tests they've passed, but we know of the one they failed because it had cataclysmic results. Again, if you don't believe me, it says it says to that snake, and if you believe comic book theology, then that snake was this talking serpent. But the snake was their mind, and they couldn't even use that. There was no temptation by the snake until they named the names, until they gave things names. And that was one of the tests. They had to be able to name things without appropriating the good and evil for themselves. And once they named things, then they failed the test. And they ate of that apple, or the it was really supposedly a pomegranate. But anyway, they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that caused we can't even imagine what it caused.
But this is where it
took place. Right.
And then to think that now.
Now all of a sudden somehow your mind is okay is not only anathema, it's heresy.
Well, the mind of Christ is the kenosis, the pouring out, which is the only thing that, I mean, that's the solution to the whole thing.
Right. The solution is 100% emptying. And that's what Jesus,
which is all the things we talked about.
Right. I mean, again, I'm not trying to talk you into anything. You can go do whatever you want. No, watch. But this, I want to get to this. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. And that's not talking about having little kids come and sit in your knee. This is receiving that one who was seen. But who shall offend? Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were just drowned in the depth of the sea. Well, now, this is a biggie. And I studied this one intently because I offend everybody. But the word offense is scandalon. And if the offense is if you let them return to self-seeking in the name of God. And if you, and again, I want you to consider how many times someone has given you a how-to in the name of God. How do you have better families? How do you have a better country? How do you sleep better? How do you do whatever it is, anytime there's a how-to, from God's perspective, that is the offense because it's a return to self-seeking and it's saying to God that the sacrifice of his son wasn't enough for you. Now, until this settles, until this gets you, there'll never be fear of God. You'll just use this mystery of God for your own self-seeking, for your own use. And you'll think and make believe you're spiritual, but all the while, all of the crap is going on inside you. Who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me? It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now again, this is a reference to an act that was done in the temple every day. And the act was this. The scriptures are clear. By one offering you have been perfected forever. The gift of God to you is eternal life. His gift is infinite, eternal, and perfect. And so you're going to learn a how-to to fix it? So what it means is, and this, what they did, when the sacrifices were killed, and some of them when they weren't killed, but all of the sacrifices, whether the goats, the turtle doves, the sheep, everything, the oxen, were kept in a particular part of the temple area. And when they saw one that had a blemish, then it was loaded on a barge. It was herded out and loaded on a barge along with, and there are some that were killed, and they did, the sacrificial knife cut them up, and they found that there was deficiencies internally, then that they took those and put them on an ox cart, and they herded those ox that the cattle or the bulls and all the animals that had an imperfection. Once there was an imperfection, they could not be used for anything else. They could not be eaten. They couldn't be used for anything, and there was massive waste, billions of dollars worth of livestock that could have been used for all these good purposes, were loaded on these barges. They were put in the meat stuff, the dead meat was put in these big round things, and then the millstones were hung and they were dropped to the bottom of the sea, and the live ones, all that happened is they had a follicle of hair of the wrong color. They had two, in some cases, there were two hairs coming out of one follicle instead. And there was a millstone hung around their neck. And they were buried in the depth of the sea. So this is kind of an important little section here. Whosoever offends one of these. Now, if certain people, you know, if the televangelists are right, I offend everybody. Well, I'm the one that's going out there then. That's my only lot. But if I'm right, and that's what, it's up to you to search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. I can't convince you of anything. But if you want to continue on your path of self-seeking,
should you be on that path?
Some people come here for self-seeking.
What's the difference between the use of scandalon here for offense? It's actually referred to Christ as being the stumbling stone.
He's the rock of offense because he offended all self-seeking. You've got to figure out what the offense is. He made self-seeking the most, really the only sin.
It's the same word, but two different.
It's two different ways of looking at it.
It's not hurting somebody's feelings.
I mean, again, I'm serious. I'm not trying to talk you into anything. Trust me. I want you. If this is of interest to you, then you should don't get into arguments and discussions with me. That's boring. Go in here and search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. If you can find a justification for self-seeking, and then look at your own life, and if you can find even the slightest hint in your own life that wasn't self-seeking, and that's why you abandon yourself. Pick up your cross, and then you will follow him. That's why it's Christ in you, the only hope of glory. That's why you cannot apprehend. You must be apprehended by. That's why repentance is the key to everything, and seeking is the key, is the antithesis of the mystery of God. Any response? John? Agree?
I'm thinking about the concept of doing this by yourself. It just doesn't work, doesn't fit.
No, if it did, I'd be there, trust me.
Yeah. But the preaching of the cross has to have this interaction, or it becomes academic.
Well, if there's no preaching of the cross, you might as well just go jack off. Doesn't matter what you're learning. That's, remember when I told you, well, what didn't my going to Bible school do me any good? And I told you no more good than when you smoked the cocaine. Remember that?
I remember quite a bit of that.
If it does you any good, then it's the antithesis of the mystery.
Right.
Why? Look at art. Look at the great art of the world. The great art that's lasted for centuries is the art that shows forth this emptiness and vanity of men. The fluff that comes along, and now there's a hit. It's a hit if it lasts 3 hours. It's just more crap. It's more self-seeking crap. Oh, we're going to have a TV channel with just the good news on it. Well, then you're an idiot. They use the word gospel. The word gospel does mean good news, but it's the gospel of God. It's good news to God. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's good news to the kingdom. But it's the worst possible news that the human race could ever hear, unless you have come to the end of yourself. Then it's everything. Or quit. Take a big guy.
I was going to say, I forgot.